It's our privilege today to have Evangelist Dave Young with us. He came a long way, all the way from the other side of Milton. What brought you to Milton, Florida? This wasn't your home originally, right?
Well, we were tired of the cold.
We're tired of the cold? Yeah,
so we left Ohio to move here.
We're so glad to have him. He's spoken in chapel a number of times, and it's been our privilege to get to know him. He's actually in the same neighborhood with Steve, and so Steve didn't run you off, and you didn't run Steve off, so we're glad for that. So, brother, would you come and share what the Lord's laid on your mind?
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. All right, good morning, church family. Happy to be with you all in this revival week, this warm, sunny Florida revival week, and it's going to be a great, great day today. I'm happy you're here, and I'm happy to be with you. I am married, so Beth and I have been married 30 years. We just celebrated that last August. And we do have five young'uns. I'm Dave Young, so my kids are the young'uns. Sounds like a bluegrass band, doesn't it? The young'uns. And we are just super blessed. Abby is married to David. He's a Bible college professor at West Coast Baptist in Lancaster, California. And they've been there, I don't know, goodness, quite a few years now. And then Joshua is married to Bethany, and he's a youth pastor in Camarillo, California, at Horizon Baptist Church. My son Matthew is married to Kareth, and he's a youth pastor in Birmingham. And he's a good kid, except he's a Roll Tide fan. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan. So when you are a Tennessee Volunteer fan and your son is a Roll Tide fan, that's called failure. And he's a youth pastor. And Josh has our first baby, grandbaby. She's, 18 months. And then we just spent the last couple of days. I finished a revival Wednesday night in Illinois. I flew home Thursday, and our son in Birmingham brought his baby down. And so Beth and I took the baby. He's 3 months old now. He was born 2 months early, so he's a little bit of a preemie. And so we took him Thursday night and Friday night, and we realized we are not parents. We are grandparents. And he kept us up a lot during the night, so we just aren't cut out for that anymore. We don't believe in that. You know what I mean on that? But made us pray for his parents more. So Matthew and Kareth are doing great. He's a youth pastor up in Odenville, Alabama. And then my Jacob is studying for ministry, and he should be here this morning, but he has the flu, I think. So he's been with kids all week. So he went with me to Illinois and did the children's meeting, and there were several kids there, you know, all came every night. So he picked it up. And so by God's grace and God's help, he'll keep it. And not share it with anybody else. That's why he's home today. But I'm happy you're here this morning. You have a Bible? If you have your copy of God's Word, I want you to find the book of James. This is where we'll start in our revival. Start with the book of James. You find the book of James, and when you're there, smile at me, and I'm going to read you something in the book of Psalms. All right? So you find the book of James, and I'm going to read, before I get to James, one verse in the book of Psalms. All right? So give you time to find the book of James. If you can't find James, find Obadiah. And just go to the right, okay? And eventually you'll get there. So give you a moment to find the book of James. All right, now the Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 4, y'all listen, y'all know this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with be thankful unto him and do what to his name? So the Bible says right here, if we're going to go into God's presence, enter into his gates, enter into his courts, he says we do it with thanksgiving and with praise. So let's just do that, all right? Now, before I preach, before I teach the Sunday school hour, let's get into God's presence, all right? Here's how he says you do that, with praise, with thanksgiving. So here's your job. You give a short testimony, all right? So I'm giving you, I'm talking slow to give you time to think. I want a short testimony that begins with either one of these phrases, either one. I praise God for, or I thank God for. So you start with one of those phrases, and give a short testimony, all right? So I'm giving you a moment to think. It's cold out there. Your brain's a little sluggish. So think it through. Get a happy heart. And let's get into God's presence. And who'll go first? I praise God. Yes, ma'am.
That I get to go to church today.
You praise God, you get to go to church today. Y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I saw another hand. Yes, sir.
I praise God for my wife.
Well, amen. Amen. Does she praise God for you?
I'll say I praise God for him.
Okay, good deal. Just making sure there. How long y'all been married? 62 years. You might as well stay married. That's a long time, huh? That'd be hard to start over, wouldn't it? My goodness, 62 years. Honey, we got 32 to go, and we can join them. Isn't that awesome? All right, somebody else. I praise God for, I thank God for.
Praise God for his grace.
Amen. Amen. These are good. Give me a couple more. We want to get in God's presence, get your happy heart, and this will help you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Thankful for
Amen. School and family. Yes, sir. All right, anybody else? Give you a moment. Yes, ma'am.
I thank God for my salvation.
Amen. Well, we'll say amen to that for sure. Saved, 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 happy all the way. Amen. All right. You got another one. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And when I said that I got to go to church, I don't just glibly say that. I really like going to church. But I moved here from Kansas last year, and they're not going to church today.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's pretty nasty up there. Isn't it?
But
pretty.
Anyway, good health.
Yeah.
I'm praising God for good health.
Amen. 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 I did a revival where my son's a youth pastor up in Alabama. I started the Sunday School Hour in the same way, and there was quite a few. And he's got some teenagers. I mean, they probably have 50, 60, 70 teenagers, depending on the night and the meeting. So he's got quite a kid. A lot of them are public school, bus kids, you know. And one of his kids shot his hand up. So I called on him. And in the Sunday School Hour, he said, "I praise God for," and he went like this, "for my mullet." He patted his mullet. And I said, "I'm not sure about that, but we'll take it, all right? Can you praise God for a mullet? I don't know. I don't know. I don't praise God for those things." But he did. It was just awesome. All right, are you ready for the Word of God in James chapter 5? James, in fact, let's start in chapter 1. All right, let's start in chapter 1. And here's what I want to talk to you about in the Sunday School Hour. It's a family revival. So let's talk about praying in faith. And let's go a step farther and call it praying in faith for our families. All right? Now look, here's why I love James 1, the book of James. All over the book of James, you find an emphasis on prayer. Among other things, you'll find an emphasis on prayer. All right? Look at James 1, verses 5 and 6. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Now chew on that a moment. Chew on that just a moment. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom. Do you ever lack wisdom? In fact, I don't know why I find that funny. To me, I always smirk when I read verse 5. If any man lacks wisdom. Now that kind of makes me smirk a little bit because every man I know lacks wisdom. We all need wisdom, don't we? So I think if I'd have been the Holy Spirit, I would have said, "Hey, y'all, ask for wisdom." But the Holy Spirit said, apparently, the point is you got to recognize you need it. You got to recognize, "Lord, I don't know how to be the husband ought to be, the daddy ought to be, the mom and the wife ought to be. I don't know how to do this, Lord. I don't know the answer to this situation I'm facing. I don't know how to handle this. God, I don't know what to do." So the Bible says, if that's you, if you don't know what to do, you're unsure about your marriage or your family or your relationships, you ask for wisdom. "God, you got to show me what to do here." And you ask in faith. Now chew on that just a moment. I'm going to come back to it in a moment. But he says, here's how you get wisdom. You have to ask for it in faith. There's a praying in faith. All right. This is where I'm getting my title, praying in faith for your family. All right. Look in James chapter 4. Do y'all know this one? James chapter 4 jumps right in verse 1. "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" You know any families like that? You know any relationships like that where there's wars and fighting? "Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because..." Yes, not. Are we not a generation that has kind of stopped praying? You know, when I was a kid, I'm 53, so it dates me a little bit. For you that are older, I'm sure you'll recognize this. When I was a kid, there was billboards everywhere you'd see. You'd see these signs, and they would say this. They would say, "The family that prays together," y'all know it? Now, I did some research on that and found out that the people responsible for that I probably wouldn't agree with. So I did a little research on it. The ones who publicized that, promoted that, paid for that, probably I wouldn't agree with. But I did agree with their statement. Families ought to pray together. God's people ought to be praying people, and God's people ought to pray as a family. Do y'all agree with that? And so here's what he says. "You have not because you ask not." It is possible to be a member of Grace Bible Church and not have a prayer life. It's possible to be saved for years and never really pray much at all. I was convicted about something the last couple of days. I read the other day in my Psalms. I've been reading through the book of Psalms in the month of January. And I was reading in Psalms and I was a little caught off guard how often the psalmist says, Let's bow before our Maker. Let's come and bow before Him. Let's kneel before the God of heaven. Let's bow. Let's kneel. I've been chewing on that a little bit. Well, no, not many people. When's the last time you've been to a service where we knelt? We don't kneel and pray anymore. We don't at church, and we certainly don't much in our lives. You're going to find all over the Bible, there's a lesson here that says, come and bow, come and kneel. There's something special about that. Y'all follow that with me, that idea? He says here, you have not because you ask not. And he gives that in relation to the idea of fighting and warring and lusting and struggling and battling. Does that not describe our culture and our generation and our families? We're struggling and battling and challenges and trials and tragedies. And here's what James says you ought to do about it. He said you ought to pray about it. That's the whole point. You have not because you ask not. There's a God in heaven who's real and cares about our needs, our lives, our marriages, our families. Y'all believe that? It's a wonderful truth. Then he says in the third verse, you ask and receive not. All right, some people pray but can't get their prayers answered. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Well, sometimes our prayers are so off the wall that God can't answer them because it's not even a logical way to pray or a wise way to pray. James 5 continues the thought. In fact, concludes the book with the thought. Look in James 5 and look in verse 13. You all know this one, I'm sure. Surely you know these verses. James 5, 13. Is any among you afflicted? Got any problems in your life? Any challenges? Any concerns? Any among you afflicted? What do we do about those? Well, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him do what? Let him sing psalms. You know, those are not two separate issues there. What he says is, don't separate those. Don't think, well, sometimes I'm merry, so I sing, and sometimes I'm not, so I pray. If I understand it, the idea is, well, sing and pray. Pray and sing. Your life should be full of prayer and singing. Because you know this, don't you? Sometimes life is bad, but it's not completely bad. Because even when things aren't good, there's other things that are good. Are you all following that? You know, there's negatives and there's positives, and life is that way. You live in a sin-cursed world. Can you say at the same time, boy, life is hard, and at the same time say, God is so good? Can you all say that? So what do? When you say life is hard, stop right there and pray about it, because the God of heaven is a great God and He's almighty. And then when you say the Lord is good, stop and sing about it. God's people ought to sing. I got on a plane several years ago, in an early morning in Pensacola, Florida. I went over there and it was dark and checked in my luggage and it was dark and I went and got a cup of coffee and it was dark and I got down the end and marched onto the plane and it was dark outside. Nobody should be flying that early in the morning, but I had to go to a meeting. I'm going to preach. I'm on the plane and I think I was okay, but I wasn't necessarily, you know, deliriously excited about being there. I was okay, but I wasn't real, you know, overwhelmed about it. So I got on, I think it's that Delta plane. I got on a Delta flight early in the morning for daylight. And I'm sitting there with a whole bunch of other grouchy people. And all of a sudden, I heard a whistler. It's not even daylight yet. And someone's walking down that little runway thing, you know, to get to the plane. And they're whistling, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. I preached at a camp this past summer. And it cracked me up because they had the teens sing before every service that song. And you know it says, he who fed the multitudes turned the water into... They didn't sing that. They said, turn the water into grape juice. And I said, I thought y'all were King James only. You just changed the Bible. And so we had a good time with that one. I ran with that one's all his word. But that guy was just so happy. Before daylight, singing and whistling, and he got on, and I recognized him. I don't know him real well, but he's a Southern Baptist pastor in Pensacola. I don't know. I've never preached for him and don't know him real well, but I'll tell you, he had a happy heart early in the morning. So the Bible says God's people ought to pray about things that are wrong and sing about things that are good, and those aren't mutually exclusive. Do them together. Do you have a happy heart? And do you pray when you don't have a happy heart? God's people ought to pray and sing, and ought to sing and pray, and pray and sing, and sing and pray. That's what verse 13 says. That's worth coming to Sunday school for, isn't it? That's good advice right there. And then he continues this idea, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, there's our statement again. James chapter 1 said, if you lack wisdom, pray in faith. James chapter 5 says, if you want to see God work and heal, what you do is you pray in faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he gives an illustration. Y'all know it about Elias. That's Greek for the Hebrew Elijah. So Elijah and Elias are the same person. One's Hebrew, one's Greek. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not. Don't you love how simple that is? What did he pray about? Lord, don't let it rain. The Bible says it almost casually, and it didn't rain. You almost get the idea that God's able to do anything. You almost get that idea, don't you? Lord, don't you let it rain till I say so. And the Lord said, all right. I mean, just that simple. It didn't rain again for 3.5 years. Now, I don't know how you slice that, but that's getting pretty serious. We're used to rain around here, aren't we? We know about rain. Let it rain. We know about that. We can handle rain. Bring it on. Pensacola's the only place I've ever been where it rains sideways. And most places I've been, it rains like this, up and down. Here it says it rains sideways. You ever been out there when it's raining sideways? Isn't that a blessing to you? Carry an umbrella. It doesn't matter. The only thing will stay dry is top of your head. The rest of you is going to get wet. That's Pensacola. Here we are. It rains. We know about that. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. I was raised on a farm up in Tennessee. Take out the rain for 3.5 years. There's no farm. The hay's gone. The corn's not there. There's no soybeans. There's no green beans. There's nothing. It's a serious thing. We prayed about it. Now, why did you pray about that? Well, because Deuteronomy, God gave a promise in Deuteronomy that if my people walk away from me, what I'll do is I'll withhold the rain. God gave a promise. If you disobey my word and walk away from me, I'll stop it from raining. Here's what I learned when I read that. It never happened until somebody prayed about it. God said he would do it, but he didn't do it until Elijah prayed about it. As far as I can tell, the only time it really shows up in the Bible where it really made a difference is when Elijah prayed about it. All right, Lord, you said it wouldn't rain if your people worshiped idols, and your people are worshiping idols, so do what you said, Lord, and stop the rain. You know why God stopped the rain? Because he was waiting on somebody to claim the promise of God. What a truth for me and you. When did it rain again? Well, because the Bible says in the next verse there, verse 18, isn't that great? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I'm asking you, Grace Bible Church friends, do you believe in prayer? Do you really honestly believe God can do anything? Don't you think we're a generation that needs to pray? How many families you know that are struggling? How many marriages you know that are struggling? How many lives you know that are so messed up? You know what James is saying to us? We ought to pray in faith. That's how you get wisdom. That's how you get healing. You pray in faith. Now, prayer works, doesn't it? Here's an illustration that says prayer works. And you do know this, don't you? The reason God invites us to pray is that prayer is to make a difference. Did you all know that? We don't just say prayer because we're religious. We're not just religious. We know the God of heaven. We're part of the family. You know what I mean by that? We're part of the family. When you ask as a family member, that's different than asking outside the family. Like I have 5 young'uns. I told you all that. We live 16 years of our marriage with our kids in a fifth wheel. Before we moved down here, one of the reasons we moved down here, Pastor, is because we could afford a house here, and we couldn't afford one in Ohio where we live. I turned 40, and I got to thinking, if you know, if the Lord were to take me home, my wife would have a truck and a fifth wheel, and she's never driven the truck and fifth wheel, and we probably ought to think about getting a house. And we looked there in Ohio. Bethany's dad was our pastor. He was retiring and resigning, and so we, you know, it was a good time for us. We were already without a house, and a friend of ours here in Milton said, hey, the housing market here is pretty good. You ought to come down here. So that's how we wound up down here. Found a house over by Steve over there. It was a nice house, and it was within our budget and had everything we wanted except a fireplace. I'm kind of regretting that this week. And so that's why we moved here, you know, and moved down here. But with our five kids, we lived in a fifth wheel. When Abby was a baby, you know, for the longest time when they're little, you put them in a, you know, like a baby bed they can't get out of. There's safety in that. You all know that, don't you? Put them in there. Lock them in. They can't get out. And then they get a little older and you get them a normal bed, you know, a little toddler bed, and they can crawl out of that one. Our Abigail, the moment we got her a bed she could crawl out of, she did. And what she'd do is get out of bed in the middle of the night and come to my bed. You could hear her in the fifth wheel. Her bed was on the other end of the fifth wheel. We had the kids' room and mommy and daddy's room separated by a little kitchen, little living room, little bathroom. That was our fifth wheel. So she's on that end of the fifth wheel and you could hear her hit the floor in the RV. You could hear her coming through the kitchen, coming through the living room, coming through the bathroom, and now she's in our bedroom. My wife and I had an agreement. Whichever side of the bed the kid comes to, that's who gets up. And Beth, we prayed about it apparently because the kids always came to my side of the bed. And I don't know how many times Abby came to my side of the bed in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, and, you know, or 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. She'd come to my side of the bed. You know what she'd do? She'd lean over in the middle of the night and say, "Daddy, can I have a drink? Daddy, can I have a drink?" 2 in the morning. 4 in the morning. "Daddy, can I have a drink?" You know what she got? You know why? That's my baby girl. That's my baby girl. She want a drink at 4 a.m., she going to get it. It's my little girl. See, wouldn't work for you. You follow that? You come to my bed at 2 a.m. tomorrow morning and lean over and say, "Brother Young, can I have a drink?" Mm-hmm. You're not going to get a drink. Y'all follow me on this? Now you're going to get something, but not a drink. You're right, because you're not part of the family. So what the Bible's letting you know here is you're part of the family and prayer works. When the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, what he wants you to know is the reason God invites you to pray is because prayer makes a difference. And don't we need help in our families? Some of you maybe that are older have a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter that's not well spiritually. You know what you ought to be doing? Praying in faith. You know what the Bible's trying to tell us here? If you're praying, God is working. Did I say that right? If you're praying, your Heavenly Father is working. You say, "But y'all, I've been praying for 20 years for my son or my daughter, and for 20 years I've prayed." Did you know that if you weren't praying for those 20 years, there'd be no hope for your kid at all? The reason there's hope is for 20 years you've been waging war. You've been bombarding the throne room of God Himself. See, God's not going to force a person with a free will created in His image to do anything against their will. He won't. But He'll work. You know, God could arbitrarily smite our children and make them do right. But He won't, because He created them in His own image to reason and think and decide and choose. So He's not going to force our kids. But if we're praying, you can mark it down in black and underline it in red. He's at work if you're praying. His fingerprints are all over the circumstances of their life. And aren't you glad that God never gives up as long as there's hope and as long as there's life? If we're praying, He's knocking at their heart. If we're praying, He's calling. If we're praying, He's speaking. If we're praying, He's convicting. If we're praying, He's protecting them. The God of heaven is that kind of God. You ought to pray in faith for your family. If you're older and your kids aren't well, believe that God is bigger than every problem in your child's life and pray up a storm in faith. You know how to pray in faith, don't you? You read this in your Bible. Praying in faith is a big Bible truth. It's a little tricky, though, to be honest. It's a little tricky because sometimes we might think, if we're not careful, we'll think like this. Well, you know, I'm not a person of great faith. I'm not a person of great faith. You ever heard somebody say something like that? I'm reading right now a book about... my goodness, his name just slipped my mind. Who's the guy that had orphanages? George Mueller. I knew it was George. Couldn't remember last name. George Mueller. I'm reading a book about George Mueller. It's a compilation of his diary entries. So it's not like one of those you just devour it. It's heavy, and you know it's written, you know, kind of jots and you know little notes here and there. So it's not an it's an old book and it's an and it's faded. It's hard to see it, but I'm working my way through it slowly. And you just say, well, now George Mueller had great faith. My goodness, the man prayed and fed 10,000 orphans through his prayer life. So, well, I don't have that kind of faith. And you've read that in your Bible, haven't you? Because the Bible says if you have faith as a mountain, you can move mustard seed. How many of y'all read that in your Bible, have you? Because if you have, you need a new Bible. The Bible doesn't say that at all, does it? He says, if you have faith, how? Now, you know how big a mustard seed is, don't you? That's a tiny little thing. So what does he mean when he says pray in faith? Ask in faith. Pray for others in faith because they need healing. Well, what does he mean by that? See, it's not the size of the faith that matters. It's the size of the God that you are going to when you pray. Do y'all see that? It's not about you. It's not that, oh my God, I'm a man over here. And I think the reason he throws this statement in about Elijah. Do you read the statement about Elias? He was a man subject to like passions as we are. That's a Bible way of saying, yeah, he had problems too. He was pretty messed up too. That's a Bible way of saying that. You ever feel like, you know, I struggle as a Christian. My goodness, I ought to pray more and I ought to be a better man. You ever feel like that? Well, don't be discouraged about it. Elias was just like you. And yet, through his prayer life, a great revival came to his generation. We ought to pray in faith. So we pray to the great God. That's praying in faith, isn't it? He's our great God. And I'm part of the family. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, say, Our Father. Part of the family. Our Father. Pray in faith. Pray big. Pray in faith. Does that make sense or not? Y'all with me so far? Praying in faith is praying with confidence. Why? Because it's God. So I can go in confidence. Does God care about your children? Talk to me. Does God care about your children? Yeah, He does. Can I go out on a limb and say this? I would believe that God cares more about your children than you do. Could I say it like this? God loves my kids more than I love my kids. And I'll just flat out tell you, that's a lot of love. I've spent a lot of hours in the last 48 hours holding a 3-month-old. Glowing. Overwhelmed. This kid's never spoken to me. This kid's never done anything in the world for me except fill my heart to overflowing with happiness. I hold him and I'm like, it's my grandson. Here, Daddy, take him home. That makes it even better, doesn't it? Woo, here you go, Daddy. I'm overwhelmed with love for that kid. That's my kid. Aren't you glad that our Father uses that illustration? Our Father, which art in heaven, He cares about our kids more than we do. We're part of the family. He's a loving, wonderful, amazing, good Heavenly Father. Know that. Know that God cares about every need in your life and every need in your marriage and every need in your family. God cares. So pray about it. That's confidence. God, you're almighty. Go in faith. See, faith is confidence that God is powerful and able and almighty, and God can. Faith is not just confidence, though. Faith is also trust. Did you know that? Faith is trust. Now, God is almighty, so I pray in confidence. God is good, so I pray in trust. This idea of healing. Now, here, we can debate the healing. I've got some friends who say, well, the healing here is spiritual healing. And I was raised in the mountain churches of Tennessee where we believe that the healing here was physical healing. Many times I've been in services in Tennessee where somebody would say, Pastor, I'm not well, and could the church pray over me? Now, I don't know how y'all would do it, and I won't split hairs with you. I'm just illustrating. But my country churches, they'd bring somebody forward, and they'd have a little bottle of oil, and they'd anoint them with oil, and they'd come forward, the elders would, and say, is things right, anything in your life not right with God? Because you got to confess your sins if things aren't right with God. God will work in a clean heart and a clean life. So is everything right between you and the Lord? And then they'd lay hands on them and they'd all pray out loud all at the same time. That's how they did it in my country churches. You ever been in a church like that? My wife wasn't raised that way. Her church was rather formal compared to my church. Her daddy was a phenomenal Baptist preacher. Incredible pastor. Had a large Christian school and a large church. One of the finest men I've ever met in my life. And her daddy's church, you know, they'd pray one at a time. And my wife had never been in a church where we just all prayed out loud because we were all talking to God and figuring to hear us all at the same time. And the first time Bethany came to our church, we had a prayer meeting. My church, when I was a boy, you know, where I grew up as a boy, she came to our church and had a prayer meeting. And one of the pastors said, now, he called on me, he said, now, Brother Young, you lead us in prayer. So my wife thought I was going to pray. Well, I did. But the moment I said, Now, Lord, the entire crowd. Now, Lord, they all started praying out loud at the same time. My wife thought we were Pentecostal, and she was having a hard time with it. We weren't Pentecostal. We were just Country Baptists in the mountains of Tennessee. But here's the whole idea of that. They'd pray out loud. Now, I don't know what y'all believe about this. I don't know where your position is. Is this spiritual or is this physical? That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that when you're praying about an illness, did you know you can trust God? Amen. Did you know that? He's good. You can trust Him. Did you know you can pray as big as you want to because He's God? You can ask in confidence. See, both of those are faith. They're not mutually exclusive. See, I have to go to God and say, God, take this. Say I go to the doctor this week, find out I have cancer. So I'd go to God and I'd say, now, Lord, You're bigger than cancer. You're bigger than anything in the world. If You wanted to, You could heal my cancer, and I ask You to do it. That's praying in faith. God, I want You to heal my cancer. I'm praying boldly in faith. But I can just as easily, at the same time, now say, Lord, Your will be done, because whatever You want to accomplish through this, I'm all in, because I can trust You with my life. You see those two go together? Pray big. Say, Lord, I trust You. Pray big. God, You're almighty. You can do it. I'm asking You to do it, Lord. I'm asking You. My friend Harold Vaughn says, pray as big as you are able to pray, and when God does it, you'll have something to shout about. But trust God, because God's good. You can trust Him no matter what's going on in your life. He's good. He cares about you. You can believe that. And we're children of God, aren't we? How many of y'all are saved, are you? Are y'all believers here this morning? Well, then you can trust God, can't you? So if you die, what's going to happen to you? Well, my goodness, y'all believe in heaven? Now, I'm not thinking I'm going to go today. But if today's my day, I'm going to be okay with that. Because you know what I'm telling you? It's not cold in heaven. It's the sun. The sun doesn't even shine there. It's so nice. They don't even need the sun there. It's so nice. He's the light of that land. There's no sickness, no suffering, no sorrow, no trials, no tragedies, no challenges, no difficulties, no bad news, no presidential election years. Come on, help me out here. Isn't this good? That's heaven. Don't you want to go? I mean, it's going to be good. Somebody says, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do. What if I die from this? Well, now hold on for a moment. Aren't you a child of God? It'll be okay. Why, if you go home to heaven, you're just going to be in heaven. Rejoice in that. Don't you feel sorry for Lazarus in the Bible? Lazarus died, and 4 days later, Jesus raised him from the dead. I can't prove it, but I think he came out of the tomb going, seriously? That's what I think. I can't prove that, but I think that's what happened. Are you serious? You brought me back? And I feel sorry for him because the rest of his life, the Pharisees are going to kill him again. I mean, the poor guy had a rough go of it. But the point I'm making is this. We ought to pray in faith. Listen, start this revival week with this decision. Lord, I'm going to pick up my prayer life. Start this revival week with this decision. Lord, I'm going to pick up my prayer life. I'm going to be like a Daniel and set aside some time on purpose to kneel in Your presence and pray. Going to set aside. The Bible doesn't want us to be legalistic about it. You okay with me using that word? In other words, don't set some incredible statement so you can feel good about yourself. So it's not about being religious. This is about the God of heaven who cares about our needs. In other words, look, say, Lord, I'm going to pray every day at noon, every morning at 6, every night before I go to bed. I don't know what would work for you, because the Bible doesn't command it. You know, I have to pray at 5 a.m. Sometimes we glorify that, don't we? We read about previous generations. They got up every morning at 4 a.m. for an hour in prayer. That's true. But don't ever forget the fact that they also went to bed every afternoon at 8 o'clock. Because when the sun went down, you went to bed. You don't sit up a little while in front of the fire, but you went to bed. You go to bed at 8 o'clock, you can get up at 4. If I go to bed at 8 o'clock, I can get up at 4. But you can't in our culture, you know, stay up till 10:30 and 11 and get up at 3 for prayer. You can't do it. So God's not asking to be weird about it, but He has asked us to pray in faith. But don't we need wisdom about our God, what do I do about my family? Pray in faith. What are we going to do about our marriage? Pray in faith. Start praying like you've never prayed before. It's 2024. Pray up a storm about this presidential election. God has a plan. It's not like God up in heaven is wringing His hands going, I can't believe who they elected as president. It's not like he's caught off guard. You know, he's the God of heaven. He has a plan. And no matter what sinful choices we might make along the way, God's fingerprints are still all over it, ordering the events of our world and our life. And God is able to accomplish His goal in the midst of our sin-cursed choices, right? Believe that. Your God is almighty. So faith is in an almighty God. So pray up a storm. Let's start this revival by saying, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray more than I ever have this year. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. It's not commanded, but find an illustration. Pray once a day. My grandpa, Hugo Young, was saved out of moonshining. And he was a wicked, brutal, godless man. But he got saved in a revival. Never read the Bible in his entire life because he never went to school in his entire life. Never read a word in his life and couldn't even sign his own name, didn't even know the alphabet. But he got saved. And the one thing he did is every morning when milking was over, he milked by hand, they had no electricity. When milking was over, my dad, you know, still at home, milking was done, Papa would take time to kneel in the dairy barn for prayer. And every evening when milking was over, he would take time to kneel in the dairy barn for prayer. See, you don't have to be an amazing, incredible, super Christian. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed, and it made a difference. So go to the God of heaven, start praying again. And go to the God of heaven, start praying daily for your family. You got some burdens about your family, a grandson or granddaughter, a brother or sister, an aunt and uncle, a mom or a dad, a son, you're not sure what's going on in his heart. You got a great God, church family. And He cares. So pray in faith. When there's afflictions in your family, pray in faith. When there's wars and a struggle, ask. God cares. So start praying for your family. Don't let the devil beat you up. Pray. And pray in faith. Our son will be here this week. He went off to Bible college a couple of years ago and struggled. Made a friendship, made some wrong choices. He didn't get kicked out of college, but things weren't right. They didn't kick him out, he didn't anything like that, but his daddy knew things weren't right. So his daddy kicked him out. I brought him home, said, "You're not going back to college till things are right. And we're going to deal with stuff. And right now, you're old enough to leave, and if you choose to leave, then I'll love you, and you'll always be my son, and I won't change a thing. I will always love you, and you can always come home, and you're always welcome in my house. But I know, you know things aren't right, right?" And he agreed, I know. What are you going to do about it? You're just going to float along, ignore it, and pretend it's no big deal, or are you going to make things right? I don't know how long I have to influence your life, and if you choose to leave, I'll still love you. But if you want to stay, then you're going to have to change some things and work through some things. And, well, was that hard? Sure. Here's what we did. We said, "Okay, Lord, this son you gave to us to raise for you, and he's not doing right. And I'll tell you, his mom and I prayed up a storm, didn't we, baby? Like, Lord, help us." Did we cry about it? Yes. Did I want to kill him in the name of Jesus? Sometimes, yes. You know better than this. You're an evangelist kid, and your dad's a preacher on the family. You know better than this, son. But I'll tell you, church, we prayed. And the most beautiful things in the world that I've seen in our ministry is God working in our own family to where it answered our prayers and our love and our training to watch God Almighty begin to do a work in our son's heart. And he responded to that. And he's on the right track. He's a different kid. He's a different kid. He's all in for the Lord now. It's not because I'm an amazing man. It's because I have an amazing God. And so do you. You say, "Yeah, but I wish I had that story." Listen, my friend, don't compare. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. The Bible says that's not wise. What we do is we start where we are and we pray in faith. We pray in faith. Pray as big as you can. And Grace Bible Church, just pray up a storm. What a ministry. All these kids in this property every day of this week and all throughout the summer. How many kids come on your, how many parents come on your, there's a guy here in town worked on my car a few years ago and I witnessed to him. And he told me he'd heard that before because his kids go over and play baseball over here at the church, he said. Or softball, whatever. I knew what he was talking about. What an opportunity. you know what, don't just go through the motions about this. It's like, well, it's all this nice property and we got a little program that works. No. We got to pray up a storm all the time because the God of heaven's the one that does the spiritual work. Dr. Watt, isn't that incredible? Dr. Watt. Dr. Watt, I got thinking, if I were you, I'd name one of my kids Kilo. I mean, Kilo Watt. I mean, don't you think that'd be cool? If I'd have been you, I don't know. When you get married, son, have a kid, name it Kilo. Right, come on. You know people like that. But you know what? You can have a doctorate, right? You can have a doctorate, but that doesn't mean you can change a life. So we all got to pray up a storm. You got to pray. How many of y'all have kids? Do you? You better pray. How many of y'all have grandkids? Isn't that awesome? You better pray. You got a great grandchildren represented in the building? You got to pray. The God of heaven is the one who does the work. So let's start with Him. And let's pray in faith. Go to the Bible. You remember Elijah found a verse in Deuteronomy and prayed about it and it changed things. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and pray about it. Lord, help my children to obey You and honor Me. And help me to raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help, God, help me. Pray about that verse. Go to Proverbs 22:6 and read it and stop debating it and pray it in faith. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Go to God in prayer about that. Say, Lord, help me to train my child. And help me to train his appetite, because that's one of the Hebrew words there is about the appetite. Help me to train my son or my daughter's appetites. Help me to do it, Lord. And what does the Bible say? So they'll go that way all the days of their life. Pray about that. Lord, help me to train my child. Help me to train his or her appetites and help them to go in the right direction all the days of their life. Don't you think we can pray about that? So pray in faith. See, we've been saved a long time, a lot of us, haven't we? You all notice this and I'm done. After you've been saved a long time, you come to the place where you discuss the Bible rather than take it by faith. You ever notice that? After you've been saved a long time, you have opinions about it rather than just simple faith in it. It is so easy to do. Pastor will announce a text, and oh, yeah, here's what I think about that. When you're first saved, you don't think that way at all, do you? When you're first saved, pastor announced a text, and you're like, wow. I was preaching one revival one night, and this younger couple up front is obviously new converts, you know how I knew? Because they loved everything I preached. They were just, in fact, out loud one night, he said to her, I heard him. He said, did you know that? She said, no. We need some of that in our churches, don't we? We need some of that in our life. Let's pray up a storm. Have I made sense? Here's our first decision of our family revival week. Lord, I'm going to pray in faith. I'm going to start there. I may not have all the answers, but I'm going to pray in faith. I'm going to pray in faith. Our first decision of this revival. I'm going to pray in faith. And so, Lord, help me to do it. All right? So bow your head and close your eyes, would you? And it's 10 till, and it's time to walk out and get ready for the morning service. But take one moment right here, right now, and say, Lord, help me to make this first decision of this revival week. I'm going to pray in faith. If it's about a son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, just tell the Lord about that right now. God, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to pray in faith. I'm trusting You and I'm calling on You. And now, Lord, help that to be true in all of our lives. But my goodness, Lord, we don't always have the answer. We don't have wisdom. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to solve the issues. We don't know how to take care of the wars, the fightings. We don't know how to handle it. So we look to You. We walk with You. We trust You. We call on You. Lead us. Guide us. Help us. And Lord, if there's a family at Grace Bible Church really burdened about a home situation, a family situation, oh Lord, encourage them and strengthen them. Let them know how much You care. And remind them that You're at work. Lord, just listening to Pastor mention this accident this past week and a family that's hurting and broken and they don't even know You. Oh, Lord.
Oh, God, help that family. Help them to come to faith. Put your fingerprints over this situation. Great, great things come out of this, Lord. Oh, God, have your way in that, I pray. We'll love you and we'll praise you and we'll thank you. Bless our morning service. There'll be a sweet spirit. Do a great work. Change us and lead us and guide us, I pray. I ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you here in a few moments for the morning service.